Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Welcome to our show. I'm in Costa Rica, beautiful Costa Rica. We're doing an adventure trip and with an entire group of life coaches, fantastic, brilliant minds. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so grateful to have this time to just really explore myself and my own ideas, my beliefs, and the people that I'm with are just fantastic. I'm having such a great time here. And decided to do a show today with a couple of friends I met. And I'm so, once again, I'm very grateful to have Ben and Jen Rohde with me to talk about what they're doing with they're the co-founders of the Rohde Institute, an educational center for the advancement of spiritual partnerships, sexuality, and spirituality. Ben and Jen are motivational speakers, leading relationship experts, and cutting-edge spiritual leaders. Ben and Jen are internationally renowned transformational leaders and creators of explosive sexual healing. And I've seen this. It really was that explosive. Not going to go into that, but just yet. Maybe they will. But Ben and Jen have revolutionized sexual healing and redefined spiritual partnership for the modern age by bringing sexuality out of the shadows and into the light of the mainstream. Ben and Jen will be featured alongside... Or excuse me, they have been featured alongside Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, the Dalai Lama, Desmond Tutu, and in the upcoming Shift movie, and in Salon.com, Huffington Post, Sirius FM Radio, The Young Turks, and it just on and on, incredibly. And they've also been blasted by Bill O'Reilly.
That's our favorite.
Excellent. And I just want to say that Ben and Jen's passionate mission is to unite the spiritual creative partnerships for the advancement of humanity. And Ben and Jen, thank you so much for doing this interview with me today on Universal Soul Love. I wish Dr. Lana Love could be here with us, but she was just gracious enough to allow me to come on this trip and be able to spend time with the boys and with you and the women, of course, and just mixing and mingling and making connections and learning about everyone else and what everyone's doing. And so... anyhow, welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having us here. We're so excited and so honored.
Jen, seeing all of our guides and angels coming together to transform the planet through the show right now.
It's true.
Yeah. Jen is an excellent channeler. I've just an instant connection between the three of us, and we're in the same... I guess we're in the same sort of sector within the spiritual community. You're in the New Earth movement, mm-hmm. really, and there's just been a lot of commonalities. And it really, actually, when I met the two of you, it actually blew my mind to hear what you're up to. Mm. I'm actually just going to let the two of you just take turns doing what you do and just tell us what you're all about and your experiences and your mission, and we'll just go from there.
Great. Awesome. So the thing that we're really excited about right now is this 800-acre sovereign city that we are creating in Costa Rica. And it is such a huge project, and it's got, we're building 40 homes on the property for leaders to come and stay and live with us and create with us and change the planet with us from a place of being totally off the grid in a regenerative community, not just sustainable, not merely sustainable, but regenerative. And on the other side of the community, there's a retreat center with 30 treatment rooms for holistic healing and hypnotherapy and energy work and acupuncture, massage, all that wellness stuff. There's going to be, we literally just planted a couple days ago, we started planting 30,000 food trees.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we're creating a 200-acre food forest. There's going to be food everywhere. There are springs on the property. It's the sixth cleanest water source in the world. The sixth cleanest water source in the world. And, you know, we just moved here from California 3 months ago. We moved January 22nd, 2016. And we did this in preparation for just everything that's happening right now. And
I heard both of you speak earlier. You're both excellent speakers, you know, your technique was awesome too. Just everything you're doing is just really impressive. I'm really excited to have met both of you. You may want to just talk maybe a little bit more about you know, how you I was really I really excited about how I heard about your, just how you came to be, you know, together. And
cool. Yeah. So we met 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we met 4 years ago. And at that time I was a special education teacher of 10 years. Ben was a mailman. And, you know, we both had this calling to do something more. And, you know, Ben had actually, I can go deep into the woo-woo here, correct?
You can. No, of course. This is universal soul love.
Okay. Perfect. I'm going to go deep into the woo. So, you know, I do a lot of astral travel and astral projection and work in different realms. And I've done that my entire life from the time I was a very little girl. And, you know, I remember astral traveling when I was very, very young and, you know, and I still do that now, but typically I do it with people that I know, or, you know, that I have some awareness of, or that I've met in the physical, you know, third dimension. And so with Ben, he was visiting me in the astral realm for what I remember to be a year and a half. And I actually have a feeling it was much longer, but I had very visceral memory, for about a year and a half before we met. And so it was pretty much on a weekly basis. He was visiting me. I knew what he looked like. I knew what he sounded like. I knew what his energy was like. And it was really such a wild experience. And there was an aspect of me that thought he was someone that I was actually going to meet in the physical. And then there was another aspect of me that thought that was completely insane, you know? So, yeah.
And what we've realized is that Jen is the most incredible clairvoyant. And I showed up, met her in the physical, and I had been preparing for that for about a year and a half as well. And walking my clients through a hypnotherapy session where I introduce them to their life partner, wherever their life partner is on the planet, even if they've never met him, especially if they've never met him or her. And every time I would do that, I would walk them through the situation as though I'm making love to my life partner. And when I met Jen, I knew it was her. So anyway, fast forward 30 days after we met, and she moved in with me. And we didn't even have our first kiss until the night before. And then we got married 2 days after that. That was 4 years ago. We quit our jobs.
Shortly after that.
I was a mailman. Quit my job to do this explosive sexual healing work, and we blew up really fast. And with a name like explosive sexual healing, you get a lot of attention. And so we've used this attention to do incredible things and just grow incredibly fast. And the next level of our life purpose is creating this community in Costa Rica, the sustainable regenerative community.
And that's amazing, because of course, one of the primary missions, the number one mission of Universal Soul Love on our mission statement, is actually building self-sustainable communities.
Awesome.
And so I was amazed to hear what you're doing, because I work with people like Jonah, and we've had Sasha Stone with New Earth Project on the show, and we've had spoken with Michael Tellinger and many others. And this has been, we've been somewhat frustrated, you know, by, I visited many eco-villages, and of course I'm working with one in rural New South Wales, Lana and I,
cool,
with Aetherian eco-village, and you know, we've got a start on it, but not, I mean, I'm just amazed. I think I told you, Jen, that because everybody knows about my goddess connection and the divine feminine essence, and she once told me, don't worry, the money will be there. And I always told Lana that this will happen. And yeah, it's always been that way for me anyhow. Anything I've ever wanted to do has happened.
Yep.
There's always a way to do everything, I've always said. And I know that's true. I sometimes sort of doubt myself, but it's always happened.
Yeah.
So I do always sort of maintain that faith, and I know better. And, you know, that you both of you have some a lot of similarities to Lana and I, how we met, our relationship, just, I guess you've been in Ariel, you're associated with Ariel Ford. Lana and I were in Ariel Ford's last book,
awesome,
How to Mate Your Soulmate and Live Happily Ever After. Because I want to ask you more about relationships, of course, and about twin flames and soulmates. I mean, Lana and I have explored all of these things as well, and we have a lot of ideas on the stuff that we've talked about on our show. But I want to hear what you have to say about these things, and also I want to talk more about your project here. And then, of course, our last Our last show was about ascension or dissension. That's the track we've been on, because we've been talking about the global threats, as we always do, or excuse me, global issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Particularly Planet X comes up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get your views on that as well. So let's go right into it. Relationships.
Let's talk dissension.
Ascension or dissension, either way.
Are we ascending? Are we descending? So I can go into my own, my own definition of ascension. I'm sure we all have different
spiritual evolution,
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah. So to me, I believe that I'm here in this incarnation that my higher self is desiring to have a fully embodied human experience, a fully embodied, fully integrated human experience. And so for me, I've been on the path of how do I create the space and the container in myself, in my energy field, in my surroundings, with the people I surround myself with, in the place I surround myself with, in the ways that I live, with my family life, all of it. How do I bring my life and my lifestyle and the way that I live into integrity so that I'm creating a temple space for my higher self to show up more and more? Because I believe we're all in and out of higher self. You know, some of us more consciously, some of us less consciously. I believe, at least for myself, I go in and out of it.
No, I agree.
Mm. Yeah. And so, one of the downloads that I've gotten recently is I, for a long time, I thought I was working on becoming something and clearing and purging and all of that. I think is wonderful. I think we can work and work and work. And ultimately, I actually believe that we just are who we are. I believe that we come in with, so much knowledge. I mean, you look at children, like I have two children. They have so much knowledge. They're so, my baby boy that's 10 months is way more dropped in than I am, And so, how do we in some ways get back to that and create the lifestyle for that supports what the higher self is? Because for me, my higher self, I believe is eternal, and I believe that she, I'm always connected with her in some ways, but that she will, and I've seen her, if she doesn't like where she is, she'll take a vacation to the frickin' Pleiades.
Jen's higher self is leaving in
three, two, one.
Gone.
Bam. Yeah.
Wow.
She'll leave. Yeah.
So one thing that Jen has been talking about recently is that so we just moved to Costa Rica 3 months ago, and the reason started a year before that, when Jen came out of meditation, and we had just basically moved into our dream home, $7 million property on 50 acres, 5,000 square foot home with a guest house. And we were in heaven. We were in absolute heaven. And we thought we were going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. We never wanted to leave.
We thought it was the pinnacle. It was. It was at the time when we moved in, the pinnacle of what we thought we were reaching for. And it was at that time.
And no five-star resort was gonna take the place of that home. We just loved it there so much. Mm-hmm. And so a year after we lived there, Jen comes out of meditation and she says to me, "My guides are telling me we're supposed to move to Costa Rica."
Yeah, the Galactic Confederation. I can say that on the show.
You can, sure, sure.
Okay, awesome.
This is we're primarily on BBS Radio and Dream Visions 7. So
yeah,
Galactic Federation comes up quite a bit.
Yeah, they were like, "You're going to Costa Rica." And
you're on mission. You're
right,
on assignment.
I can't say that most places, so it's fun to be able to say that. So, but yeah, they really did, and they said, this is where we're sending you. And I said, okay, well, I've never been to Costa Rica. I don't have a passport, and you better put the money in my bank account. Like, make this easy. I was like, look, you guys, if you're sending me here, make this easy. And I love what you were just talking about, where you're like, I'm always provided for. And that was exactly the message. They said, look, just take one step at a time. The first step was, obviously the passport, the visiting and all of that. And all of these things really have just fallen into place. I had no idea we were going to be co-creating this 800 acre community. But it really has been one step at a time, and it really has been provided for.
Yeah, I'm almost shocked when you told me this. I was almost floored to hear what you were doing here.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah, I mean, give us the extent of what's going on.
Yeah, so it's a $51 million project, and we've got some of the brightest minds in the world on this project. One of the top permaculture guys in the world, Stephen Brooks, is heading up all of our permaculture, and he spoke to our group the other day.
I had heard of him in the past, but he's an amazing speaker, actually. He has such a huge... I mean, I guess he would have a huge energy anyhow with this project, but this is a fairly big project. This is the real thing.
Thank you.
We've got another co-founder, David Comfort, is a former New York stock market, like on Wall Street, on the floor trader, and then went into real estate development and working on multi-million-dollar projects and all that stuff. And so he's the expert. He's talking with banks and the money and the development and managing. He's the one managing this entire team of freaking crazy tapped in geniuses. Mm-hmm. We've got our friend Alex Lightman.
And David, can I just say one more thing about David without speaking for him too much? But I mean, David is this really interesting juxtaposition of having that New York stock market background, but also being, I mean, he woke up. I mean, he's gone through such a spiritual awakening, and his level of discernment has actually blown me away. And I'm very particular about whose energy I'm in. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
Yeah. We were talking, David, yesterday about why most of these projects, these sustainable projects, these eco-villages aren't being successful. Mm-hmm. And it's because most of us, it's our job to, like Jen, to tap into the Galactic Federation of Light and talk to fucking extraterrestrials. Like, how are we going to do shit on the ground?
6 hours a day, right?
Like, how are we going to, talk to bankers and get the funding talk to investors in a way where they don't think we're insane?
I was just about to ask you how you made all of these connections. I mean, I've made a lot of amazing connections. Yes, I have. And, sometimes your higher power just sort of places them right in your path. It's just amazing how it just all flows and goes.
So it's David that is the one, he's the one that's making this happen, the financial, because he has the vibration of wealth is in the air and I can make this happen, right? Where none of us know what that feels like, right? So now we know what it feels like to snap our fingers and create something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And this is an entirely different level. Mm. And so, all the people on this project, we all have our own connections and we all have our own geniuses. And I started talking about Alex Lightman. He's the creator of the 4G network. The President Obama just went to Cuba, and it's based on Alex Lightman's book. Alex was an advisor for some people at the White House. This book ended up in Obama's hands. Obama quoted the book when talking about opening up the trade embargo. And next thing we know, Obama is on a plane to Cuba, right? And I mean, we're just getting started. I mean, he's also built his own spiritual boarding school in New Mexico and won one of the top eight educators, Innovative Educators of the Year Award, as given by the White House. He won the Inc. Magazine Award for innovation that's going to change the world, or the decade. Mm-hmm. He beat out Elon Musk and Steve Jobs for that. This guy's insane. He knows everybody. He's one of my best friends. I love this man. We've got the top sacred geometry architects in the world. We've got Coke's marketing specialist. Used to be Coca-Cola's marketing specialist.
And then he woke up. Yeah.
So I mean, he's made $14 billion from his campaigns, for Coke and all that. I mean, these are the people that we have on this. Mm. And these are just a few of them. I could keep going, but we only have an hour here.
So is this the result of the Great Awakening, do you think? I saw this a long time ago. I had written about this in one of my books about the Great Awakening. Not that I'm the first one to ever, I've had that thought, but...
I it's really interesting and so beautiful, and I was actually crying the other day, and I was so happy. I was so happy to see these men, and there are women coming together too, but these men are coming together, and these are men that have like really you know, I call it infiltrated the 3D. They've done the 3D game. They've done the 4D game. Mm. They've won the, you know, won the game. They've made a lot of money. They've been very successful. And then each of them had their individual awakening processes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where something, you know, it was Burning Man or it was this or it was that. But they had these different awakenings where they went through this death and rebirth process. And so there's this really integrated, what I call divine masculine and actually balanced divine feminine energy in each of these men that they're carrying, that is so astounding to me and so profound and so beautiful that it actually had me bawling the other day.
That's fantastic. And that's another part of our mission statement, is the joining, the unity of the masculine and feminine gender or energy. Yeah. And it's fantastic. The divine union. Mm-hmm. I'm just, That's so great. I mean, I'm almost speechless at this point.
So Thank because you. You're speechless, Thank I'll you. Keep talking. We love you. So it just, you know, this project has come into alignment so fast
and so synchronistically. Fast.
That's
so
for sure.
Synchronistically, yeah.
Everything is falling into place. It's just one thing after another. I mean, to get a permit to build a project like this in Costa Rica is so hard to get. It can cost, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and take years to get.
Absolutely.
If they want to give it to the gringos at all.
Absolutely.
But because what we're doing is so tapped in, and you know, if you're listening, you can go to, you know, you can check it out, the website as I'm talking. It's risecostarica.com, RISECostaRica.com, and follow along. And so what's happening is everything is falling into place, and the man that we're in contract for, that we're buying this land from, is the former Prime Minister of Agriculture in Costa Rica. He carries a lot of influence. He's connected all the way to the top. He's the richest man in Costa Rica, and he is dedicated to helping us with this project. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I just talked to David yesterday, David Comfort, and he said, big news. Our friend that sold us this land is getting so excited about what we're doing that at some point together, we are going to change the law in this country to totally outlaw GMOs and pesticides. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's just one more country down
that's huge.
Not using that shit.
Yeah, and he'll be the one to do it too, because, you know, he is connected with agriculture. I mean, the interesting thing about this, and I don't want to name his name, but he was a farmer. He was a farmer, and he that's what he started with. And so he's connected with agriculture, and then of course he became, you know, went into politics and all of these different things. But that's what he's into. So he is the person to do that. He's the man in this country to do that.
Yeah, you know, I hear myself saying, geez, I've been lucky to have made the connections and, you know, the people in my life, but it's really not luck.
It's not.
It's almost divine plan or something.
Yeah.
It's something more. I'm not a big believer in luck anyhow. But.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is all we have to do is give up our, you know, give up our free will choice to mess it up and commit 100% to higher purpose and alignment, getting in alignment. And when you do that, and when we just use our, where you allow our higher self to use us as a tool here on the ground to make stuff happen, everything falls into place. And the only thing we need to do is tap into what is our assignment, what is our mission,
right?
Here? What have we been assigned to do, and trust that we're gonna have, that they're gonna send the ground support exactly on plan. And that is what is happening now. We have so much support on this project. So we did a conference call the other day. And we had just brought in another huge contractor for this project. And one thing we said, I said at the end of the call, is I said, look, what I find so amazing is that this project is lacking nothing. There's nothing this project is missing. Every piece of the puzzle is filled in. Mm-hmm. The only thing left is adding on awesome things. And adding on amazing people that we didn't even think we could have something this amazing. And this is what's happening. As more amazing people get added on, more amazing people want to join. And, you know, we were calling this a project for a while. The project. We're going to the project. I'm going to go walk the land. I'm going to go show some investors the project. Mm-hmm. And we have a landing strip, right? So we fly investors around in the landing strip on the airplanes there. And, you know, we keep calling it a project. And Jen came out of meditation and she says, the world doesn't need another fucking project. We don't need a project. The world needs movement, and movements create movement.
Well, and I said, causes. So causes create effects. Causes create effects, right? And they said, there's a cause. They said, this isn't a project. They said, this is a movement, and this is a cause that will create an effect. Yeah.
I think I like the law of cause and effect even more than the law of attraction, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But I do like to call this the New Earth Movement. I'm sure I'm not the only one anyhow, but this is a movement, and this is a big movement. Mm-hmm. It's small right now, but it's got a lot of energy, and it's going to be, when it manifests into what it's meant to be, as it already is, it's well in the way, and like I say, it's all happening. And I loved Jen, I loved the way you talked about the differences between 3D, 4D, and 5D earlier when you did a your talk.
Yeah,
that was amazing, because we always have people on our show, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what those mean, and you just have an excellent explanation for them. I'm not sure we have time to talk about them, but we will at some point, I'm sure.
Cool.
That was an amazing. And just to attest to your channeling ability, we were going to a whitewater river rafting, I think, a couple days ago. And I was sitting on the bus talking to Christine Carlson. She's the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And you must have been in the back of the bus somewhere, and I didn't know this, but I noticed as Christine started talking, I was just asking her some life questions, and all of a sudden, I knew that she was channeling the divine feminine essence, because I know, you know, when that energy is present from that higher level. And I got a synchronicity as she was giving me a specific answer to something, an amazing answer. Can't remember it at the moment, but that'll probably come out in one of my posts at some point. But I noticed a sign going by at that moment when she gave me a particular answer, and when I had that recognition that said it was a service station that said Sophia, which is just a synchronistic name for me, and letting me know that goddess energy is present at that moment. Mm-hmm. And later on, Jen, you told me that you saw...
I was looking at the two of you, and I was just seeing, and this is a new one for me. I see colors and I see lights, but I could actually see the channels coming up from your crown and the multidimensional layers and levels that the two of you were working in. And the conversation that was being had, it was like this beam of light that was going up between the two of you. And it was like, I could see it clicking like on the different multidimensional levels. It's like, yeah, we're having this conversation here in the 3D with war. Words, but then there's this, you know, there's the 4D and there's the 5D and there's the 6D, and we're all the way, and it went up really high too. That was the other thing. I mean, it was like, right. It was like the never ending, you know, so it was really beautiful to see. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I always recognize it when the divine feminine essence isn't my higher power per se, but it's one of my primary, I don't even know how to explain my connection really, but, by the way, Christine Carlson is just what a wonderful personality she has. Her energy is so calming.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read the book, I'm sorry to say, and I hope I do at some point. Mm-hmm. But boy, she just has quite a, you can't be stressed around Chris.
I know, we're so excited. We're flying, as soon as this trip is over, we're flying to the U.S. for 4 days to speak at an awesome event there, and we get to stay with Christine those 4 days. We're so excited.
That's awesome.
Well, I think she's a perfect example of how someone's energy field is when they are very balanced and integrated in, you know, in upper dimensions as well as lower dimensions, because I believe it's not, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I got to go to 5D and I've got to be in 5D or 6D or whatever it is, but we can't let go of the 4D and the 3D and the 2D and the 1D. We have to be integrated. We're here. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm in a body. And so I think that she's such a perfect example of what that looks like and how it feels, mm-hmm. right, when someone's working on higher dimensional levels, but also simultaneously very integrated in the lower dimensional as well.
So why don't you explain your definition, our definition of 3D, 4D, 5D?
Yeah. So, you know, really simply, you know, 3D, I think of as, you know, you have most people in the third dimension have a job. They get up every day, 9 to 5. They go to work. They do their job. They come home.
They hate their job. Yeah. Usually.
They usually hate their job. They come home. They drink their beer. They watch their football. And they don't really know that there's that much else going on. They might be going to church or whatever. But they don't really know that there's that much else going on.
They're checked out. They retire. They die.
Yes. That's it in a nutshell. And then when we move into 4D, when we begin to move into 4D, there's usually something that sparks some kind of an awakening in us. Maybe we read a book, we read The Secret, whatever it is, we attend a meditation class, we do yoga, whatever it is, there are all different ways of, but we start to wake up and we start to realize that there's a game being played and that some people are winning the game, that there is a game. Some people are winning it and some people are not winning it. There's something.
The game of life.
The game of life, right, exactly. And we could call it...
The game of having a better life.
The game of having a better life. And so, and we could call it, you know, the chess game, or I call it the Monopoly game, you know.
Sure.
But the thing with the fourth dimension, so in lower fourth, you start to understand that, you know, there's a game being played, and you start to observe the game, and you start to play the game a little bit. And then in upper fourth, you've kind of come into some kind of mastery in the game. You've achieved some kind of success. And then there comes a point, you know, this is what Ben and I spoke about today, is that there comes a point when it's like a Monopoly game where you could just play it and you could keep playing it and you could keep playing it and you could keep playing it.
That's right.
And it's someone else's game. There's someone else's rules and it's someone else's
exactly.
game.
That's the competitor.
That's the competitor, right. And so when you're playing someone else's game, you're gonna
The Matrix will always win.
The Matrix will always win because the fourth dimension is the Matrix.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
You've got to step out of the Matrix and out of the box.
It's boot camp.
You've got to make it is boot camp. Alexandra Meters of Galactic Connection has a lot to say about that. I know you've talked about Cobra and the boot camp. That's where we are.
It's the freaking boot camp, right? And so and to go from 3D to 4D, you know, we always say you've got to burn the boat, and what we mean by burning the boat is you can't go back, and usually that means quitting the job and there's a lifestyle change. And when you shift from 4D to 5D, the stakes get even higher, and we say you've got to burn the house. And what we mean by that is you've got to let go of your identification with everything you've acquired and accumulated in the fourth dimension. You've got to be able to and willing to let it go. And I mean, what that looked like for Ben and I was letting go of the $7 million property, all the furniture, the Ducati, the car, the whole deal, and moving to Costa Rica with 8 suitcases. You know, it looks different for each person, but you've got to be willing to let it go. And you've got to be willing to stop playing the game, burn the game too, and to create from nothing by your own self-defined sovereign rules that you define for yourself, not by anybody else.
Part of letting go means also letting go of all your beliefs and everything you know.
Yeah.
Just
anything limiting.
Anything limiting, yes.
Yeah.
Anything self-defeating or just obstacles of any kind. I burned when I had my awakening and I decided I'm going to Australia.
Yep.
I burned everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a bonfire going with all my paperwork and history. And I went with nothing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've been like that throughout my life anyhow. That's part of the spiritual warrior mentality is non-attachment and personal responsibility and power of choice. Those are primary life philosophies for me.
And here's the thing. We like nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may be hippies, but we like nice things. And so we moved into a home in Costa Rica that we love 10 times more than our last place. And... you know, when we decided to move, when we committed to move, like Jen said, we didn't have the money in our bank account to do something like that. I mean, it costs so much money to make a move like that.
Right.
And, you know, even if it's, so even buying a vehicle over here, they charge something like 60% tax. So if a car, you know, our car, it cost $52,000
and there's no new. Financing. There's
they
no
finance they don't finance it. Anything. They don't finance. So yeah. And we didn't buy it new. We thought we created it used, and mm-hmm. we created it built into the price of this home that we're renting here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we're creating this community. And that's the thing, is it all came falling into our lap. So when you burn the house, you really just have to let go of the attachment to what you've created. Mm. And, mm-hmm. you know, in 4D, you learn to create everything that you want. And it is a hard process creating it. It is an amazing, intense, incredible, challenging learning curve to create everything that you have had, that you've created. And it is much harder, it's much harder to let it go after you've created it than it was to create it in the first place.
Yeah.
And that is where the nugget is, because when you let it go, when you release it, what you're saying to the universe is that I'm trusting and I'm in full alignment and I have agreed to go exactly where I'm told by our team, by our upstairs team, and I'm committed to doing that even when I don't have any idea how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, and it's the sacred conscious sacrifice. And I like the word sacrifice. I don't, you know, this word sacrifice has been so misused and abused, but it's actually a really beautiful word when it's done consciously, when you're consciously saying, yes, I'm going, it's the real meaning of the word sacrifice, is that I'm consciously going to give something up. I'm going to surrender something, consciously letting it go and replace it with something new, right?
This is what David Ibarra Eagleheart talked about on last week's show, mm-hmm. in regards to the ascension. Mm-hmm. And it was about, you know, we were talking about creation and destruction, and almost sort of sacrifice is more about giving up for something better,
mm-hmm.
Which I think we'll be getting to.
Yeah, you got to let, you know, one of the things that Ben says is you've got to let go of the good to get the great, mm-hmm. right?
It's an interesting lesson. Jesus once said, and I, you know, this is mm-hmm. just my take on this.
Mm-hmm.
There was the rich man, and he said, in order to follow me, you must give up everything.
Yep.
And the wealthy man started to cry and said, oh, I can't give up all my wealth.
Yep.
He was too attached to it. But the issue was,
right.
Jesus wasn't actually saying, you have to give up everything.
Yeah!
He was saying, you've got to give up your attachment to
yes!
your feelings. You can't let things, you can possess things, but you can't let those things
you. But don't let them possess you.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And when you identify with something and you can't let something go, your possessions start to possess you. And that's the teaching.
Right.
That's it in a nutshell. I agree.
And even the wealthy elite, they own nothing, but they control everything.
Yes. It's so
and
true.
And here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought
so
that up.
So true.
And I was talking to you before about what we do in our groups that we call mystery plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's been done for just centuries in these ancient ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
these mystery plays, where you act out, you tap into the collective consciousness of what's happening and you act it out in the physical. And so we have these groups of people come over, maybe 20 people, and Jen and I create roles for them to place, and they don't know their role. We fold up a piece of paper, we hand it to them, they don't look at it, they put it in their bra or their pocket or whatever, and then they let the role take them over. And one of these mystery plays, we gave somebody the role of the powers that were,
mm-hmm.
and then there was someone had the role of 3D, someone had the role of 4D, someone had the role of 5D, someone had the role of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Like money, debt, banks.
Right.
And so those are pretty much the roles. There were a couple of them, a couple other ones too, but those are the main ones. And what happened, what we realized is that the powers that were, the person that played the powers that were they were trying to find a way out.
Mm-hmm.
They were done playing the fucking game. They've been playing the game for so long and they are just done. They don't want to do it anymore. But the thing is, they are the reason in a big way that we have been able to accomplish as much as we've been able to accomplish. They've created the systems, the infrastructure that have allowed us to do what we've been able to do. And, you know, without good debt, there's a lot that, you know, that we never would have been able to create. And so, you know, they're not bad. They are an activation. They are here to wake us up. And the role seems negative because it gives us something to fight against.
Right.
But in reality, you know, anytime a huge, crazy disaster happens, people wake up, and it gives people something to fight against.
Good. Thank you for getting on that track, because we didn't want to cover that. I don't know how much time we have left.
Okay.
Got 20 minutes.
Okay, very good. Let's go into it.
Okay, great. So, yeah, it was very interesting when we did the mystery play, because we basically set intention to connect in with what I call the galactic internet, right? Which, I mean, I believe that our human bodies are all kind of tuning forks, and that we can tune in to what's going on, right? And so that's the state that everyone's in. And what I found very interesting, too, about this particular mystery play was that... you know, when the powers that were came out, she the woman that was playing this, and again, she had no idea what she was playing, was exhausted, was absolutely exhausted, and literally wanted someone else to take over. And another thing that Ben and I have talked about, which is very interesting, is how do we move into spiritual adulthood? Because it's very easy, you know, to blame, and there are a lot of crazy things that are going on in the world between the fluoride and the water and the poison and the skies. And I mean, we could go into all of that and the GMOs and all of it, right? And at the same time, how do we organize ourselves in a new way and come into mutual agreements about and come into spirit, what I call spiritual adulthood with ourselves, so that we can be sovereign and we can be self-leading and self-directing. How do we take our power back?
Exactly.
Because we've unconsciously, you know, we've unconsciously given it away, right? We've unconsciously given it away. Yeah,
absolutely. We've given our power away.
We have.
That's it. We need to reclaim our power.
That's it. Yeah.
What comes after that?
I mean, giving our power away it doesn't even have to be an action. Giving our power away is an inaction, right?
True.
And the people in the U.S. are so afraid of losing their shit. They're so afraid of losing their stuff, leaving it behind. And this is why it's important, is everyone in the U.S. needs to be committed to letting their stuff go for what's right. So now, in Costa Rica, the president passed a law that was not good for the people. The people did not appreciate it. The people of Costa Rica pride themselves on two things. First of all, they pride themselves on not having a military. This is a country that does not carry the karma of war, right? It feels really good knowing that tax dollars are going to the green energy in to all kinds of other amazing things. Education, medical.
And their health care. They have one of the best health care systems.
Better than the U.S.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love the U.S. for all that the U.S. has done. And there's a lot of things that we could learn, that the people in the U.S. can learn from Costa Rica. So they also, the other thing they pride themselves on is their land. You don't fuck with their land, right?
And that's to the point where literally, if you buy a rainforest property, and this happens with gringos all the time, they'll buy rainforest property, and then they think because they bought the land that they can cut the trees down. It doesn't matter. If there are trees on that property, I mean, this is why it often takes forever to build, because they really protect their land.
So the president passed a law that was not good for the people. And the people just stopped going to work, and they stopped buying things, and they literally stood in the street and just didn't do anything for 3 days. They didn't riot. They didn't protest. I mean, their protest was literally just, I'm crossing my arms and I'm going to wait you out.
Like a nonviolent army.
Yes. Right.
The entire country shut down. It took like 3 days, and El Presidente was like, I changed my mind. He changed the law. And here's the thing, is that people can do that here because they're like, look, I don't need money. I grow my food on my land. I have water and streams in my backyard. I know how to survive. Fresh water. Pura Vida is their slogan. Pure life. Everything they say, Pura Vida, is hello. It's goodbye. It's good to see you. It's fuck my life. It's everything, right? Buena vida, right? So now, and this is the thing, and the U.S. can't do that. The people in the U.S. can't do that because they are so attached to everything. They're not growing their own food. You know, if the power goes out, they're screwed, right? If the water goes out, they're screwed, right? And so Costa Rica, they're like, dude, just give me my land back, right? And if you Google what are the top 10 happiest countries in the world, guess who comes up first every time?
Costa Rica. Yeah, and the thing is, people in the U.S., we're not even calling ourselves American citizens anymore. We call ourselves American consumers. I mean, that happened in the 1950s. Consumers. It's insane.
Hey. I call myself a global citizen.
I love that.
I love David Gallup and the World Service Authority. One of my favorite people. More power to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping, you know, we can work more with David Gallup. I love his sovereignty movement.
It's awesome.
Great guy. So just getting back, I know Lana would want me to ask about Planet X and the global threats and World War III. I guess that's more my thing, but earthquakes, volcanoes going off, you know, the pole shift.
Cool.
And where you're building. How is it protected? I mean,
yes.
What do you think of all this in relation to where you're building, safety, protection, ascension, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I believe that there are many, this is a great question. So I believe that there are multiple potential timelines and potential realities. Do you know about the Berenstain Bears thing, what do they call it, the Mandela effect? Have you looked into that? I've got to connect you. It's amazing.
No, I don't think I have.
You'll geek out on it, okay? Mm-hmm. You'll totally geek out on it. It could be a whole nother show. But in a nutshell, it could be a whole nother show.
Yeah, it could. We have a little more time.
In a nutshell, I believe that there are multiple timelines at play. And I believe that we are capable of timeline hopping on which one is in alignment for us at this point. Mm-hmm. And I believe that those of us that are... He who is lucid in the dream... controls the dream.
Nice. Very good. It is cause and effect.
It is cause and effect. And so, this is so good. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
So, you know, and the question that I ask myself, if we're all in this, I believe in many ways in this co-creative dream that we're having, I believe in many ways we're dreaming. Who's the dreamer?
Not only are we dreaming, we're not, I call us them, you know, sleepers, the awakened and the sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
The dead are also still in their dream, many
yes.
of them. When mediums channel the dead, they're still in their
yes,
dream
yes, they
state.
Are. Often they are. Yes.
Which accounts for lost souls as well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if I could list on multiple hands how many dead people I've talked to that have no idea what's going on, I completely agree with you. So who's, if we're all in this dream, who's the dreamer? And what I have found is that whoever's the most lucid in the dream has the most say about the reality creation in the dream. So I believe that it's our responsibility, our individual responsibility, to get as lucid as we possibly can in this dream right now. And that's basically what Ben and I believe that this is going to come about by what, you know, we could call it, Ben and I call it sovereign partnership. Some people call it twin flame partnership. Mm. I believe that that's going to be a key role that's being played in getting in and co-creating these communities. I believe that it's not going to change. Yes, there are people playing, infiltrating the system from the inside, and yes, it's necessary, but I believe at least the role that I'm being called to play is to outside, you know, there's infiltrate the system or create your own system from nothing. And I believe that Costa Rica is an ideal place to create your own system from nothing, because it is what I have been told in many ways. And there are no 1000% safety. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that in many ways there is a collective agreement here that these people are not messed with. And because of that collective, and it's a collective, not necessarily always even conscious agreement, but there is a collective agreement. And because of that, there is more safety in this zone and there is more protection in this zone than in, for instance, instance, the United States, because there's collective unconscious agreements in the United States that people are you know, have really surrendered or have really, they're not empowered, you know?
Yeah. And one of the beliefs that we hold strongest at this point, because this is my dream and I am the most lucid person on the planet in this dream. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm creating this.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if all of us light workers looked at it that way and took our communal dream and laser-like focused it on one thing, then our dream gets created faster and faster and faster. Now, in my dream, I am creating that every single thing that happens wakes people up more and more. That every single thing that happens is designed, divinely designed, to wake everyone up. So whether it's Planet X or World War III or Donald Trump being elected, like, people are going to wake up one way or the other.
And this will give us the best opportunity to really overcome any adversity and triumph over our tests and challenges this way by being laser focused on the positive outcome that we're trying to create.
And you
really clarified so many things. It's amazing how you've really done it. And I'll just go a little bit more. Jonah Bold of the Starseed Society and Starseed Radio is going to be really happy to meet you. He's here in Costa Rica, and he's been here for a while working on creating this, and I've been working with him for many years, and we get quite a relationship going, business relationship. Star Brothers. But, she's fantastic. I don't know. There's so many things going on in my mind, but...
You had one more thing to say?
The twin flame thing, certainly Alexandra Meters is on that as well. Obviously one thing I've neglected to do is allow you to give your contact information, your website and whatnot. And I know you have an excellent process for the sexual healing catalyzation activation that I saw today. That was astounding. I wish we had more time to get into your ideas and relationships, because I've talked to both of you about that, and you have a lot to say about that as well. That's really cool.
Thank you so much. Did you want to say one last thing?
I was in and it was out. It was something about the lucid dream, and I had something really, really quick about the lucid dream. Co-creating reality. It was in, it was out.
Okay.
It was in, it was out. Okay.
So our website is rodeinstitute.com. It's rodeinstitute.com. And, explosive sexual healing is more explosive spiritual healing through sexuality. And it's all about enlightenment, goddess ceremonies, priestess ceremonies, tapping directly into source, clearing all the old programs, and doing this through a state of 30 minutes of G-spot orgasm. That's nothing like Tantra or Oming or anything else that's ever been done. This was channeled through us by our higher selves and our upstairs team. And we also have a group membership program where we do weekly activations and Q&As called Sovereign U. And it's sovereignu.com. And it's a really, really awesome program. And actually, I don't know how to offer them the free month. Anyway, I think if you go to sovereignu.com, sovereignu.com, and type in the coupon code in your checkout, Pura Vida, P-U-R-A-V-I-D-A, all lowercase, P-U-R-A-V-I-D-A, all lowercase. I think that'll give you a free month.
I got the thought back.
She's got it. Now? Close the loop.
Is that okay?
I can always put it out for you anyhow.
Thank you. Okay, the one other thing I was going to say is that if this is a lucid dream, so I do a lot with lucid dreaming, and if this is a lucid dream, you know, the very interesting thing is the way that I started lucid dreaming is because I was having nightmares. I didn't want to wake up, but I was having these nightmares, and that was what was motivating me to wake up. What was the first way I got lucid in the dream? It was not because I was having this really pleasant, lovely dream that I loved. It was because I was having nightmares. Now, I lucid dream all the time because I enjoy it. I love it. It's a playful, it's a game. I love to reality create. But I believe that, you know, whatever, in my lucid dream, if this is a lucid dream, I believe that I'm creating these different things. So even if something negative's happening, that it's actually calling us to wake up.
And that now we can create it in a way that is only positive.
Yes, it doesn't have to be hard.
And so this may very well be why we're seeing such these global threats.
Absolutely.
What we're seeing is we're perceiving every imaginable global threat hitting us right now.
What will it take to wake us up in the dream? I mean, that's really what I see. It's like, what does it take? You know, so for people that aren't waking up, it's like, sure, send this in. No, send that in, right? Like, what will it take to wake people up so they can get lucid in the dream?
We can go the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it may very well be real in the 3D reality, you know?
Yeah.
And I was on someone's show quite a while back, and I was talking about how the universe will hit you with a pebble to give you a message.
Right.
And then if you don't get it, it's going to give you a bigger lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get it, it's going to drop a boulder on you and make you wake up and get the lesson.
Up. Yep.
So, yeah, fantastic.
Yep, love it. Okay.
All right. Geez, you guys are fantastic.
Oh, I think we love you.
Let's just keep going.
We love you. We can talk to you all night.
I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and taking the opportunity to do this with me. And hopefully at some point I'll be able to get over there and see what's going on and all the great work you're doing. And bless both of you and so glad to have you.
Mm. Awesome. Love you all.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so honored.
And I just want to thank all the listeners. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Thanks for holding down this energy. Thanks for being a part of the light. We're all in this together. We could not do this without any one of you. We are creating such a powerful force field for this entire planet, saying nothing gets through. We are all standing in the street saying, I do not consent to this bullshit anymore. So thank you so much. We love you.
It is about speaking the truth with conviction. And maybe we'll be seeing positronic technology at some point. Some nullifying force fields. I got that from one of my guys. I have no idea what that is.
I love that.
That may come into effect. You never know what's going
to
happen.
I'll ask Alex Lightman about it.
He would be the next one to invention. Talk to. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well.
Something that comes to mind is... I think we're going over time, but we might actually have to make this into two different shows. We're just talking about such important factors in our evolution. And something that I wanted to talk about was the concept of enlightenment. And I always remember this intriguing wise man, Professor John Wren Lewis, who is an Australian professor of, I think he was a professor of physics, and he described a near-death experience that he had, because he was very practical and not spiritual before this near-death experience. And when he had this near-death experience, he described a sense of his head almost being cut open and completely connected to the huge expanse of the dark universe. And rather than experiencing life through, as John Wren Lewis, he experienced the universe as John Wren Lewising, or you could say the universe as Dugging or Daviding, right, or Larnering. So, you know, rather than us being individuals, we are the universe experiencing itself through these individual, artificially induced individual experiences. But we are, in fact, the universe.
Well, we are. We're all aspects of the universal consciousness, trying to expand and expand its awareness and learn about itself and grow. And I think we've come to the conclusion that maybe God became aware of itself, or the Creator became aware of itself, and it was bored. And so it created more of itself to fill the void.
Poor God being bored. Yeah. Look, which then brings us to, and I'd just like to sort of go on for another 5-10 minutes if we can, what are the practical ways in which people can get the most out of this period that we're evolving into?
The shift.
We know that there are physical changes happening in our planets. We know about climate change. Some of us are choosing to, you know, buy up some food, water filters, perhaps move to high ground. That's sort of, I guess, survivalism. And we may or may not have altruistic concepts of how we may influence future civilizations. Others are actually choosing to ascend. And I wonder perhaps whether Doug and David Eagleheart might tell us how one goes about doing this, you know, rather than perhaps trying to survive. Can one actually focus on all this energy and ascend pretty quickly into the next dimension? How does one do that?
That was one of your big questions.
Yes.
I kind of foresaw this question coming up.
This was the big question.
Yes. And the answer may not sit well for many, but it goes in it goes in alignment with what Doug was saying about letting go of the soul or the perception of the soul, giving of yourself for something much greater. That act or that process, when you give of yourself into something much greater, also is part of the ascension for that individual soul. What is part of the whole ascension protocol that's occurring right now, and the illumination and enlightenment of humanity and their position in this galaxy and in this universe now, some will ascend fully in spirit, some will ascend body and spirit, but many will reside within this world and experience the changes that is supposed to be. Depending on what your lesson plan is, some will have their experience mitigated to a level that is part of their plan. Some experiences will be extreme. But those that ascend can only ascend if many hold a lower vibration on the vibrational scale, so that way they're able to see where not to go. Those souls that are holding that lower vibration on that scale have elected to be there because they opted to be the ultimate teachers, to let us know where not to go so we can have a choice of where we want to go and move into a higher vibration. Those souls will still move on their ascension plan, but they will be experiencing some of the extremes of these changes. And for them, for that, they must be honored. They must be honored, because without them, all the other souls will not be able to ascend.
We've heard this before from, I think, Gary Lee talked about that we should honor the people that play the evil role, so to speak, because they're doing us a great service by being the quote-unquote bad guy. They're giving us an opportunity to ascend, I believe. Is that what you're saying, David?
Yes, to be better, for us to be better for ourselves for each other.
So how do you know? How do you say that? So presumably you're saying that if someone commits an act which is cruel, then that allows others to save someone else and ascend?
Someone gets to be the activist or the hero.
Yes.
As a result of somebody being a bad guy.
But also, how do you know bad is bad?
We don't. That's all duality anyhow. That's part of what we've got to let go of, is the illusion of duality.
Okay, folks, I do have a problem with that. And this is something that David and I have talked about at infinitum, duality versus non-duality. And the problem I have is this, and, you know, you may know that I work as a therapist, and obviously I see a lot of very unhappy people, a lot of sexual abuse. I know that there are some quite spiritual people that have rationalized their own abusive experiences
justification.
As teaching them something. Psychologically speaking, I think that it's much easier to accept something if you believe that there was a reason for it. And I certainly do believe that some circumstances of hurt and suffering can ennoble the soul. However, I also see a lot of people that descend into darkness and may never get out of that darkness. Mm-hmm. There's also another competing theory that humanity, not only is a slave species that was genetically engineered, but that there's a whole lot of other parasitic beings, evil beings that create situations of suffering so they can feed mm-hmm. upon us.
And we just encountered a woman the other day who was supposedly possessed by these beings, and I zeroed right in on that, as I often do, because I have experience with dark spirits, and we went into that, helping her out with that.
That's right. And I know Michael Tellinger certainly has the view that, you know, we're trapped in a matrix and that humankind is, there's a lot of blood sacrifices on many different levels, including even perhaps the fact that our bodies are able to experience pain, and that this is a complete illusion that suffering and darkness serves a holy purpose.
Well, here's the catch, though. If you have an individual soul enthralled in its ego experience, and let's just say it's someone is a mass murderer, and at some point in time, this soul enthralled in its ego becomes aware of its purpose and says, and comes to some theory or some realization that says, you know what, I'm supposed to be doing this killing and so forth, and I enjoy it. Now the parameters have changed. Now it's made a choice to go outside of its personal plan. And in that respect, is it part of the universal plan? Well, that's hard to say. But when that occurs, there's going to be a side effect of that, a balancing action to counter that. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. But again, if we see everything as energy, as vibration, as frequency, whatever frequency or energy is occurring, there's going to be a counter frequency to harmonize it.
And there is, and that's what activism is. Activism is a reaction to what they're seeing and not liking and wanting to do something about.
But there's also internal activism within yourself. You have to be active within yourself to be able to create change, to get change kickstarted within yourself. And then that gets reflected out into the universe. Somebody else will feel it and go, wait a minute, I like what that's going on, what's happening there. And they'll come and talk to you. What's different about you? What's going on? I want to talk. Share, please. So that's where the sharing of our knowledge and wisdom with each other is so important, because that's when we truly unify within the heart, and that's when we truly ascend together as a species.
But then that would suppose that, or that would presuppose that in the end there would be no darkness and everything would ascend into light.
And yet
that's not the case, because you've just said that light balances darkness.
And you're going into duality with the dark and light thing, which has been one of the biggest manipulations of humanity, good and evil, and those labels, when we need to... One of the ways that the ego takes its focus off of physical reality is by recognizing duality. And once you recognize these labels, these on the spectrum of the lower polarity, then you're able to actually use it effectively as a learning tool. That's my belief. But
well, that is exactly. That's where physicality is the tool to learn. Just like a holodeck on Star Trek. When you step into that holodeck, you're outside of time space and you're looking into the theatrical show that you're going to step into. But you step into being fully aware that it's a show.
Right.
That's what's happening to us now. We're being pulled out to say, hey, this is just a show. And then we'll have that kind of awareness. And that awareness is ascension.
But David Eagleheart and Doug, if evil is actually there for a reason and is serving almost a sacred purpose, then why save anything?
So, well, that's part of the plan that we agreed to before the universe was created. They remove the label evil and assign it a frequency. Now we see things in a different light. Light is a frequency. Emotion like is a frequency.
It's like acting in a movie, and then after the movie's made, you step out of it and you're a spectator in the movie theater watching yourself in that movie.
Good analogy. Good, perfect analogy.
I found that very, very hard to accept. Maybe I'm not evolved enough. From a Buddhist perspective, what I like about Buddhism is that it doesn't – well, I guess the non-duality is very much a part of Buddhism. Rather than seeing evil or darkness, it talks about perhaps higher spiritual awareness, and it sees what we call evil as evil. Ignorance, but it does not talk about ignorance serving a purpose. Although I guess Buddha did say that his mean, horrible cousin, who was forever doing awful things to him, was one of his greatest teachers. So, but you know, when you think about, for example, those awful, you know, in Africa, the
Boko Haram, yes, I agree.
Raping women, and you know, women seeing their daughters being raped in front of them. There's just some inside you feel that there's something incredibly wrong with that.
I do see something wrong with that. I absolutely do.
But what you're saying then is that those Boko Haram are actually serving a very important sacred purpose. And that they have sacrificed themselves to be evil for the sake of ascension.
If that hadn't occurred, that wouldn't have stirred an emotion within you. It wouldn't have stirred change within you.
It invokes some compassion and empathy.
Well,
within
actually,
us.
It also hurts a lot. And for a lot of people, for what I see in my practice is there's an equal number of people that can rise above, as can sink down below.
David and I have both seen that in our lives too. I've worked with criminal offenders and in the prisons and the court system. David's been in Desert Storm, and I think you just had an aircraft accident that you had to look into today, didn't you? I mean,
yes,
you know,
yesterday.
We've seen all these things, just like you, Lana. I don't know that. I don't have the answers. I don't know.
I'm also a naturopath and a clinical hypnotherapist as well. So I've seen quite a few of my clients and patients as well in that respect. And I'm seeing the common denominator that is the thing for humanity to take action on what it's supposed to do, whatever that may be. There has to be some kind of trigger. Otherwise, humanity remains complacent.
Yeah,
and complacency does not lead to growth.
True.
So presumably, then in heaven, there's a lot of very lazy, complacent angels.
It's different. The energy the paradigm over there is much, much different. Energy never is complacent. It's always, always moving. The act of planning is action still. It's forward action. It's right action. When you're planning for a show, what are you doing? You're actively engaged in planning a show. That's still action. Complacency means there's no movement. There's nothing. There's no learning. There's no reading. There's no energy movement. There's nothing. It's dead water. It's no movement at all.
So if your conscience is looking at a situation outside of itself and saying, I know this is wrong and I'm going to do something about this, that's helping you with your evolution. So nobody's saying don't do something about the pain and suffering in the world. It's saying when you do it, when you're guided by your conscience and you do something about it, spiritually look beyond the event itself for the answers while you're doing something about what you see as wrong outside of you, so that you can equally understand and grow.
But you can equally argue then that you're being very ignorant in judging the murderer for being bad and the victim for needing to be rescued.
Those are all judgments. Even calling something evil ignorance is a judgment.
But in order to be an activist, you have to have some sort of judgment.
No, you don't. You just have to be guided by your heart and by your conscience.
So how about if we just remove all the labels and see it like an oscilloscope sees electricity? See it as all frequencies. And then you'll be able to begin to understand how everything plays out. It's all frequencies as part of a spectrum. The spectrum.
Yeah, I'm not judging, but I'm not going to allow you to hurt this animal.
Presumably, if we're all trying to ascend, we are judging. We're saying that the light and ascension is superior to dissension.
Are we all?
Ascension should be looked upon at the physical body, ascending or raising the vibration to be closer to your soul vibration. That's all ascension really is. In the process of ascending, you become more aware of what's around you. That's stuff that's always been there. You're just not aware of it because your eyes can't perceive it. So if your physical eyes raise in vibration, you will see more because you see a broader spectrum.
Mm. Okay.
Your soul that's already true. Knows it's there. Your soul can see all spectrums because it's vibrating at that level.
Okay, well, on a practical level then, how does one ascend?
Look into your heart and receive the information that is specific for you.
Okay.
Worry about you. Look and receive that sacred information that resides within your heart right now. Go in without judgment, without preconceived notions of what should be and what will be. See it for what it is. And receive it and allow the energy to flow into you and the message, and it will transform you. And that process is ascension. That process is ascension through awareness. Find that peace.
You're expanding your awareness to have a greater understanding of the situation.
Okay, so, I mean, in that description of it, it's very much, you know, the description of any philosophical or religious teachings where you develop greater kindness. However, ascension per se that we're talking about in this current day and age seems to also involve going from 3D to 4 or 5D and possibly the body, I don't know, becoming less physical. Is that correct?
Well, what's the difference to If five dimensions, three dimensions, four dimensions, nine dimensions already are existing all at the same time right now, the only difference is becoming aware of those places.
Right. You're expanding your awareness and your understanding. It's more than just kindness and compassion. Once you have the kindness and compassion, you're moving beyond that so that when you look at a situation, a hurt person or an injured person being tortured, you're moving beyond that to have an understanding of that experience, a greater awareness of what this is all about, so that you're seeing, I don't know how to explain
it. So that's ascendancy of the soul. What about my interest is in the physical body? Does that then necessarily flow?
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. The body and soul are no different. They are one of the same because the soul is in the body. Think of concentric rings. You're in the center. You're having a three-dimensional experience, and then the outer ring of outside of that is fourth dimension. The outer ring of from that is fifth dimension. So what you're doing is increasing your awareness of the rings that are around you. They already exist.
Their body.
Yeah, they already exist. You just have become aware of them. And where do you do that? You go to the place where there's no filters, and it is there, and time and space doesn't get affected, and that's inside your heart.
So, interesting question. Don't know if anyone's ever done the study, but I wonder whether people that are more ignorant way more than kinder people, if you put them on the scales.
go to Heart Math Institute.
Oh, yeah, we know about them.
Scientific studies on
this.
Right.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. Absolutely fascinating that the heart has, in fact, a greater almost energetic field than the brain, and that the heart has its own innate intelligence very similar to the brain. Amazing, amazing stuff. So now, for those people who are worried about earthquakes, tsunamis, from a purely egotistical point of view, if that's possible, is it likely that in this period of huge energy that facilitates our ascension, is it possible that if we really focus on all of this meditation and on acts of kindness, is it possible that we might actually physically ascend to a different realm? They say that the earth may also exist in the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension. So is it possible that we might actually not experience tribulations, physically speaking?
It might be that we just become less attached to our bodies and we allow ourselves to die like we're meant to.
Well, I'm not sure whether ascension is dying.
What you're speaking of is exactly what I was what was shared to me, and I shared earlier on your show about the mitigation of the experiences. You shift into a reality where the experience is much, much less. Now, if it's part of your personal plan, your soul plan, to shift into a reality where the experience doesn't occur at all, that's quite possible as well, because that timeline does exist. But in doing so, are you circumventing the life lessons for your soul? That's the question that only you can answer. Mm. And that answer resides inside your heart.
So and you're talking about the possibility of shifting into a different reality still with this body. What about shifting into a reality where the body is lighter and possibly doesn't exist?
It's no different. There's a timeline that exists that may be going on. Remember, the body is not, it's energy, it's frequency. So when you say lighter, I see a frequency that is higher. I don't see weight, I see frequencies. Everything is frequency. So if you want to ascend to another dimensional realm that is higher in vibration, how do you do that? You have to raise the physical body's vibration to that level to match it. Otherwise, you can't exist in that at that level. And we're thinking of terms of higher and lower. Think multidimensional.
We're multidimensional beings. And this happened to me before, Leonard. I told you the story during what people consider their awakening. It might be the dark night of your soul or whatever before I met you, where I actually found myself, I had a near-death experience, although I never even came close to death. I was just sitting in a chair, and I found myself, this was not an out-of-body experience. I experienced a spiritual death where I found myself in another reality or another place where I awakened in this place. I'm not going to go into the story now, but that happened. I was no longer in my physical body per se. I was just somewhere else, and you call it a disassociative state, I suppose, or I don't know. Carlos Castaneda's teacher, Don Juan, did something similar at his death, where they say he opened up a portal and just stepped out of the world. So
is ascension the same as dying or not?
There is no death. It's just experience. Death is just a transition. Death is just a transition.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, gee, okay. Well, I know you've got to leave now, David. But, okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Looks like this is all the time we have left. So just want to thank David, you, and Doug for being on the show as our special guest today to talk about this topic. It's very worthwhile.
It's amazing. It's quite expanding. I think I might have ascended a bit more. I'll have to go and weigh myself probably. No, but really, it's fascinating. It's multi-dimensional, and I guess what occurs to me is that any behavior that you do can be on many multiple levels. So, look, thank you very much. I think that's answered a lot of perhaps questions for our listeners. Great pleasure to talk to you both.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and thank you, Doug, as well.
From the bottom of our hearts here at PBS Radio, you two are stellar spirits, and we love you very much.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next time on Universal Solo. Thank you for listening in.
Unless we ascend in the meantime.
There you go.
This is Dr. Lana Love.
And Detective David Love, signing off for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.